So my message is all geared in the garden, and we can learn a lot about what happened in the garden. So I'd like to share that today, and I hope and I pray, Lord, just guide my words as I bring it forth, Lord. It starts in Genesis chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 8. And we're going to just read it through, and then we'll go back. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Okay, then God made woman out of Adam. And now in verse 25, we see Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So notice this is, everything was created in perfect harmony. There was peace, there was innocence, there was fellowship with God. God was walking with Adam. And think about it, I think sometimes we read these scriptures and we don't think past what it was like at that time, because Adam was the first man created. God breathed life into him. So now it's just him and God. He didn't have a family to grow up in. He didn't have a mother figure, a father figure, family. He had God, and he had his presence walking and telling him all about the garden. And he said, you're free to eat of anything in the garden, any tree, but one tree. And it's just that one tree is the only thing that I'm commanding you not to eat from. So he commanded that and told him. And he said, when you eat of that, if you eat of that, you will certainly die. Okay, so he's setting the boundaries and the guideline of what not to do, but he has freedom to choose any other thing. And Adam and his wife, excuse me, were naked and not ashamed. They did not feel any shame because there was no shame, there was no evil. Now, I never really could understand this until I kept thinking and praying about this and reading commentaries and things. I thought, well, why weren't they allowed to have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, if you think about it, there was no experience there of evil. It was only pure innocence and blamelessness. But if you ate of the tree, then you were being disobedient. That's when the sin entered and caused the disobedience. But they wanted, well, let's move on before I get ahead of myself. So everything was good. Everything was available to them. God provided for them. He talked with them. He walked with them. He gave them everything they needed. Until the day. In chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal of the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say that you must not eat from any tree of the garden? Now notice the tricky word there. Did he say you couldn't eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat from the trees of the in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, that tree, you know, that tree down the middle, and you must not touch it, or you will certainly die. Now, all of a sudden, she has gotten it twisted, and she's thinking about it. Well, God said about that tree, but she said, if you even touch it, you're going to die. So all of a sudden, the truth that God laid out was distorted because the enemy was trying to get her to really ponder about this and think, what did God really say? Now, if you think about it, Adam must have told Eve, hey, there's that tree down there that we're not allowed to eat from. He might have even said, don't touch it. But that was distorting what God commanded and what he said. And sometimes we can do that with making our own doctrines and adding to what God said or taking away from what God said. So the question is promoted from the serpent. So now he says in verse 4, you will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And she gave some to her husband, who was with her. Let's get that back again. He was with her. He got the commandment from God. He knew better, too. And he ate it, knowing what God said would happen. Okay, let's stop there for a moment. Now, I was looking at that. It says, it was pleasing to the eye, and it was good and desirable for gaining wisdom. She was perceiving that as something. Well, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? I would perceive knowledge. I would understand things. I wouldn't need to rely on God anymore. I could have my own wisdom and knowledge and know everything I need to know, leaving God out of it. So then they both ate, and the eyes of them were opened, and they realized all of a sudden they were naked. Okay, and I'm going to stop there too. The direct challenge that Satan was telling Eve was like to question, well, if God's a good God, why would he keep something that's so good from you? Maybe he's just holding back and he doesn't really want everything that you can have. Questions. Then it was like almost Satan was calling God a liar. God didn't. You will not die. Don't believe that. That's not true. Any kind of temptation always looks good. We know that. It's always something that's going to appeal to us. Now, I thought about the serpent, too. How did this conversation start? I don't know if he just was speaking into her mind, but he appeared to her as something. We know later he became like the dust of the ground, eating the dust as a serpent. But maybe it was something that she was able to just be relaxed to have a conversation with. And sometimes we can have a conversation with ourselves or with our minds, with the enemy, and play around with, well, I don't know, maybe that's not really what God meant, you know. We question God. And then he tried to get her to doubt the consequences of sin. You will certainly not die. Nah. That's just, maybe he's just trying to scare you, you know. It's probably not going to be happening to you because, you know, if he loves you, nothing's going to happen to you if you eat the fruit. I think he's lying. This is something that might have been a thought. I'm not just saying, that's not scripture. So Satan wanted her to see sin as something good and that a bad God wouldn't want her to have. And sometimes we can look at that ourselves and say, well, you know, if God really cares about me, why doesn't he want me to be happy? This is what makes me happy. I feel happy when I have this. I enjoy this. It's what I need. But those are the things that lead us right into that trap that the enemy puts before us. to rely on yourself, not God. Rely on your own understanding, not God's truth of what he said. Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give the devil a foothold. As soon as we start doubting God, doubting what God says, not believing it as total truth, all can lead into that thing where we give him a foothold. And the conversation goes back and forth, back and forth. And see, Satan doesn't need to do anything here. He just needs her to do it to herself, or us to do it to ourselves, or us to talk ourselves into something that we want, the desires of the eyes, the flesh, the pride. He doesn't have to do too much to do it either. Just dangle the pleasing fruit in front of us. In 3:7 it says here, then their eyes were opened and they saw after tasting the fruit. Their eyes were opened all of a sudden, but not to knowledge of good, but of evil, of their own disobedience and sin. So after tasting, their eyes were opened. And Satan said, well, surely if you eat, God knows that if you eat of it, you're going to be like God. Does that sound familiar from Satan himself talking? I want to be like God. And that's what happened. Get out of here. So when we try to make ourselves like God and above God, the word says, there is no other God before me. He is God. But when we put our rules and our regulations on our lives ourselves, we are making our own rules and we are making ourselves God. A God. So instead of becoming like God, they became more like Satan, because that all of a sudden now sin has entered the garden with this one act of both of them partaking of that fruit, of that tree that was prohibited. And sometimes we look at things like, well, God, you know, it's a rules of, you can't do that, you don't do this, you don't do that. God has more freedom in the things that we can have with him than those couple things that are going to lure us away from that freedom of being with him. I like the song that we just sang, In His Presence. The garden was perfect. They were in his presence all that time. And he would meet with them. And it said at the cool of the day they would meet probably. And I looked that up and it said probably toward the end of the day where it was a cool breeze coming. Maybe they talked about, well, what's going on in your head? What's going on in your life? What did you do today? Even though God knew everything, but he wanted to talk with them. So then, after this happens and they their nakedness. Now something, I was reading on some of the thoughts of this and it sounds pretty good. Because I think, why weren't they ashamed of their nakedness? Because there was nothing wrong with that. But maybe it was because God's presence had that covering over them while they were in that garden with him, in his presence. His glory might have been the covering that was on them. Now this is a commentary that, say, I'm not saying this is, but then all of a sudden when they ate of that fruit and sin entered, because the sin was disobedience, all of a sudden something changed in them. Like something happened. Something is missing. I don't feel right. Why do I feel this way? And all of a sudden, this is the first time that we see guilt, shame, and fear enter mankind. Because there was no shame. There was no guilt. There was no fear of God, in the wrong sense of fear, I'm not talking. So, what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Sometimes we try to make coverings for ourselves that we think are going to be adequate. I'm going to be a good person. When we accept Christ, we don't say the prayer, okay, Lord, I'm going to accept you because now I'm going to be a good person. That's not what salvation is all about. Salvation is all about, I need you, Lord, because I can't be a good person. And you are the only way in your grace and mercy through your blood that's going to cleanse me from my sinful nature that I've been born into because of the first fall. After Adam and Eve sinned, that sinful nature was ingrained in our DNA from birth. So that's not a natural thing to just go seeking after God when we're born. It's something that we have, that we know that is missing. We're naked. All of a sudden, something's not right. Why am I feeling disenchanted and depressed with life? Why am I feeling like I just can't, something is not right with everything? Because God has to be in it. His presence has to be with us. And if you're missing that and you don't have Christ as your Savior, that's the void. But don't we make fig leaves for ourselves to cover up our mistakes and things and or who we really are? God wants us to be ourselves. God wants us to be truly honest with ourselves and with God. When that covering came off of them and they realized their nakedness, their view of themselves changed. We start thinking about what lie is the enemy telling us now about ourselves? What truth is God telling us about ourselves? But I keep coming back. My message title is, Did God Really Say? So, they sowed the fig leaves. They were trying to cover up things. They make a way for themselves to do something to hide from God. And then now they're hiding from God. So God's coming to them. He says, in verse 8, it says, Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, Where are you? Well, he answered, Adam did, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And the man said, The woman you put here with me gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done? And the woman said, The serpent deceived me. Well, there came the hiding from God, because now they think for some reason that God's not going to see them. Not. God already knows that they ate from the tree because they said, We were fearful and we hid from you. So he already knows that anyway. But when God says, Where are you? He's asking, Where are you in your walk with me? Where are you? Where's your spiritual? It's severed. Something was severed there. Where are we spiritually walking with the Lord? Are we close to him or are we hiding? Are we hiding from ourselves even? Not being real and saying, This is what I've done and this is what I am and I'm struggling with this. I'm going to be really honest with you, God. I'm really afraid. I need to do this. I need you. We try to do everything and fix ourselves, don't we? We think by making a couple fig leaves we're going to cover up and hide from God and hide in the garden, and he doesn't know who we really are, what we're really feeling, what we're really thinking. He knows everything. So the closeness with God was sort of, that was hindered. The way they saw themselves was not, it was shameful now. Now it's like, oh, guilt, condemnation. And they knew their awareness of guilt. Okay. Now the questions, when he asked, Where are you? These questions were meant to arouse a sense of being lost. Are you lost? Are you, where are you? You know, I've been waiting to talk with you, or I haven't talked with you for a while. How's your prayer life? Like, not that we're sinning. It's just that we're not communing with him, too. He wanted this question to maybe lead Adam to confess the sin and not blame. Notice, I didn't see this or think about it before, but the man said, that woman that you put here with me, you put her here. It's almost like he's blaming God, too. Ooh, I don't think that would have went well. So, we can't shift the blame. Well, this is the way I was brought up. I had a rough childhood. I have an excuse for my sins. You know, I didn't really have much. I was poor growing up, or I had a terrible relationship, and I, you know, this is why I act the way I do. This is why I don't trust you to take care of things. This is why I needed to be in control. Past hurts, past wounds, things like that, we cover up with fig leaves and blame games. I'm talking to myself too, so I don't want to see. So he wanted Adam to be accountable. And so I think it's interesting. And then we go to verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Right there shows God's mercy already, a plan to bring them back. He covered them again with the first blood that was brought forth from the killing of an animal for skins to cover them, which was representing Jesus Christ later on giving his blood for us. And I think it's really, everything that you look at, when you think about it long enough and ask the Lord to show you things, I'm always looking at things like, this relates to that, and that relates to this. The fig leaves are our own ways of trying to earn salvation or our goodness. God's way was, he says, take away the fig leaves. Listen to who I say you are. With I'm clothing you with a robe of garments of praise and a robe of righteousness that was dipped in the blood to pay for your sins. And now I want you to walk with me again and be in my presence. He already was making that way for telling what was going to be. And I think ever since then, yes, we're living in a fallen world with a lot of evil. There's going to be more evil. But we need to know, what does God say? What does God say about truth? And I thought, boy, the garden, they only had one thing they didn't have to do. So I guess later on when he told Moses, he better give them a little more guidelines. Let's give them 10 commandments so they can not screw up again. Okay? So we need to have those lists of commandments because they're for us to not die in our spiritual walk with the Lord. We need to have life. If they would have eaten from the tree of life, they would have had a perfect, sinless life all the way through. But for them, since they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and they sinned, that's why he had to take them out of the garden. Because I thought, you know, boy, that's not nice. He just throws them out of the garden. The reason was because if they would eat from that tree of life in that state of sinfulness, they would have never been able, they would have lived in sinfulness completely. But he made a way to keep them from that. And now we have the tree of life to eat from. And it's like, you know how he said their eyes were opened when they ate of the tree? It's like the Lord says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Eat from the tree of life. Understand what he says. What does God say about you? What does God say about your life? What does God say about your communion with him? That's why I think David was saying, search me, O Lord, and search my heart. Know if there is any unclean way in me. Is there any wrong conceptions about you, Lord? Is there any wrong conceptions about myself, perceptions about myself? Is there anything that I'm believing that is really a lie? Is there something that I'm maybe misunderstanding and making it fit my rules? I don't know. I think we all do it at some time or another. We make it a way that's sort of a little bit in the gray area of, and we, well, if God really, let's see, if God really loves me, he would understand that why I'm doing this. If God really knows me, he'll forgive me and he'll understand. And it won't happen to me because, you know, he loves me, right? But a good God loves us because he corrects us. A good God tries to keep us from making mistakes. But we have to listen to him. So now what does God really say? The enemy tries to say, does God really say that he's forgiven you for that? Does God really say that you can do anything with him? Does God really say that you'll live forever if you accept Jesus? That's what the enemy would say. What does God really say? We have to know what God says. Adam had the first commandment from God. He had it straight from the mouth of God. This is what will happen. Don't eat from that tree. But now that sin has made us naked with our shame, guilt, fear, Satan loves to work on that with us. So, God, what does he say? You are chosen. You are my beloved. You are my child. With me, you can do anything. All these things is what God says about us. Those are the things that we want to really remember. What does God say? What does God say about him? What does he say about salvation through Christ, Jesus, his son? What does God he say about us as his child? That we will live forever with him in eternity. And the new garden, the new earth, it's in Revelation. I thought it was interesting, Revelation 22. I'll read it real quick here. Eden restored. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 cups of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are there for healing of the nations. And then he goes on to say, there's going to be no more tears, no more sickness, no more death, no more condemnation, no more of that. And that's what we have to look forward to. It's like we're going back to the garden. I wasn't sure even to make that my title, but what does God say? And we have that to look forward to. Meanwhile, we're stuck here with all the evil, but we can still be planted and rooted and eat from the tree of life, right? Amen to that? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. We thank you that you are a loving God. You are a loving God that disciplines us, tells us who you are, shows us everything about ourselves. If we would just ask and spend time with you, Lord, help us to really be grounded in truth and understand what you really say about us, who we are now. We're not the old person when we have accepted you as our Savior, Jesus. We know that we are changed. We are changed back to that place of where we can walk with you and talk with you and just have you in our daily lives instructing our way and giving us life ever after. And we just thank you for that. Lord, help us to remember that when the enemy tries to tempt us to believe the lies and to twist the truth. Lord, give us that wisdom and understanding that only comes from you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.